Thank you for listening to the Cloverleaf Radio Network, where you can find shows such as The Hollywood Connection, Cloverleaf Radio, Night Moves Radio, and Soul Stories. You can find us on Facebook under the Cloverleaf Radio Network. We broadcast on Anchor, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and many more. Tune in anytime during the week. We post our links. You can listen on your own time, on your own day, anytime you want. We provide you with new material every week. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
The night has come. A pale moon shines below, and the stars are twinkling lights. It must be time for Night Moves Radio. We'll be moving to the groovy music, getting lost in the words, and being entranced by timeless art. Good evening, and thank you for tuning in. We're glad that you've come to listen.
Good evening. It's another night of Night Moves Radio with Ariana and Josh. How's Josh?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? Mm-hmm. You're not fantastic?
I'm pretty good.
Pretty good? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of good. Said I've been falling apart, but other than that, Say I've had back and knee issues and all kinds of fun stuff. And I've been a real grump, right, Josh? He says no comment. He pleads the fifth?
Fifth, yeah.
Yeah, he pleads the fifth. So, tonight we are going to have Vince Wilson on. He is an illusionist and a hypnotist. And, master hypnotist. I'll read what I found on his website. He has a website called magicandmurder.com. And it says he is a master hypnotist, skilled mentalist, and illusionist with over 2 decades of experience and a lifetime of interest in magic, myth, and history. We'll see. Josh likes history, so there you go. And myth. So maybe he has some stuff he can talk to Vince about. And it says, Vince can provide almost any type of experience for your entertainment needs. Oh, he's really putting himself out there when he says that. He can provide anything? Mm-hmm. That could literally mean anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go there, though. Anyway, we met Vince. The first time we met him was a year or two ago, maybe last year. It was at Silicon when we were trying to do a podcast. And we were at the Coles County Mall, right? Cross County Mall. My bad, but it's in Coles County. Cross County Mall.
Trying. But it is in Coles County.
That is true. I had something right. And the Wi-Fi was horrible. Yeah. But Vince was one of them who was following us up and down the mall. And we had Brian K. Morris and Ron Fitzgerald and Charles Massant and Sarah, and Vince Wilson. They were all following us up and down the mall. Mm-hmm. It was pretty fun. But, you know, I think Vince must have found it interesting to follow us up and down the mall. So, it was, and that's the first time we met him. And then we just saw him again about a month ago at Spook Show. Was it like a month ago in August, right? Mm-hmm. And at the Mattoon Mall again. And he and Vlad, who was going to be on our show last week, we're going to do a show, but I don't know if they ever actually got to do one. I think they did. But we were going to have Vlad last week, but because of Hurricane Florence, he had to evacuate. Mm-hmm. And wasn't able to be on our show. So we are going to reschedule that because I've been in communications with Vlad. Mm-hmm. So we had Vince, actually. He sent me a message on Skype, so I'm going to give him a call. And we're going to see what he's up to. And see what if we can get him on the phone. Don't you love technology? We got nice Skype music.
Hello.
Hello, Vince Wilson. Welcome to Night Moves Radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you doing this evening?
What's that?
How are you doing this evening?
Oh, not too bad so far.
Well, that's...
Let's see if I can make the reception a little bit better.
Okay.
Let's try to...
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. It's a little digital static there.
Ah, well, sometime when we have you on again, or before we do a show, we'll test the Zoom thing you were telling me about. I was just iffy about using it when I haven't used it at all before, so I wanted to go with what I was familiar with first.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I actually, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the test episode of the podcast I put up a little while ago, I used Zoom for that.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out really good.
Awesome.
Yep, so I was suggesting earlier, yeah, it actually turned out really nice. I was surprised. My co-host was, sounded like he was in a studio with me, but he actually lives 400 miles away.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So when you get done recording on Zoom, does it like give you a link that you can share, or video, or an audio, or how does that work?
That is correct. It does all that, actually. It'll give you a link that you can share. It'll even let you do screen sharing and whiteboarding and stuff like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Very neat. So, does that come with the fifth...
I was able to bring up, for example, I brought up a YouTube right in the middle of the show.
Oh, that's cool.
A YouTube video that played so we could both listen to it while it was going on.
Oh, neat. So, is that with the $15 a month one, though, or can you do that with a free one? You still there? Are you still there, Vince?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I lost you because I changed I changed my Wi-Fi a little bit. What kind of stuff are we going to talk about tonight? What's our topic?
Well, we were looking up to kind of see the stuff that you were into, and Josh shares a few common things with you. He's into history and myths, and what we didn't realize that you also did, it said that you were a master hypnotist.
That is correct.
We did not know that about you.
Oh, yeah. I actually learned it years ago from a college professor. 20 years, over, gosh, it has to be 25 years now. Really dating myself. And I started to take it up again about 15 years ago or so. And I just kept on practicing, certified with the National Guild of Hypnotists. And that's where I am today. So I actually do consulting hypnotism.
Huh.
Is what it's called. Yeah.
Is it like...
I help people quit. Go ahead.
Is it like hypnotherapy kind of stuff?
That is correct.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So, have you, hypnotized a lot of people on stage, or just do it, in an office setting, or how do you do that?
Both?
Oh.
Yep. Yeah, I've actually done hypnosis for demonstration purposes and for entertainment. On stage, but I also help people quit smoking. I help them with stress and anxiety, and also kinds of addiction, weight loss as well.
Huh, that's really awesome. Have you ever done regression and had taken people back to past lives?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah, I've only done that once.
Yeah. And of course, I leave that to their interpretation of what is going on. Some people believe you're actually going back to a past life. Others think it's all in your head. But I leave that to their interpretation. I'm not going to ruin something. I have no idea, to be honest with you. There's no way of really knowing.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty awesome. A couple times that we've seen you, that was one thing we didn't know about you was the hypnotizing. So that's awesome.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I've been doing that for a long time now. It's a very rewarding thing to do, too, because you really feel like you're helping people, addressing their issues and trying to make their lives better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except when you're entertaining on stage and then you're kind of just embarrassing them for fun.
Well, yeah. We've had hypnotists come when I used to go to Lakeland College, and they would have people on stage, and that was always funny.
Yeah. I don't take it too far, though. I try to be, you know, funny, but not humiliate people.
Yeah. I had a question in mind, and I can't think of it. Crap. Is it something, like, I know, I think they're planning on doing SilCon again next year. Are you going to be at that?
Yes, I am. I'm planning on coming back to SilCon. You know, it's kind of fun to, the last time I was there was a lot of fun. SilCon was a great event. Becky and, you know, and every Wallace involved put on a great, event that lasts all weekend, and I really had a great time last time, and I can't wait to come back again.
Yeah.
The Spook Show was fun, too.
Yeah, it was.
SilCon was is something that's very well established there.
Oh, yeah.
And Mattoon, as they say locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Mattoon. Yeah, I remember, actually, the last SilCon we actually were talking about before you came on, how you kind of followed us around when we were trying to get a podcast because the Wi-Fi was horrible.
Oh, yeah. It was, that's why I made sure that my latest cell phone had a hotspot built into it. It was actually one of the things to help me justify that purchase.
Ah.
So now I have a high-speed internet on my phone. Actually, for our conversation, they got switched to that.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Very awesome. Well, that's awesome that you can do that. Okay, so do you plan on doing any hypnotic, or is that just something specialized, or?
I could definitely do that. I talked to Becky recently about exactly what she wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, I'll probably be doing more of the same, the magic performance, as opposed to, you know, I really don't do the paranormal stuff that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I do private research on my own, but I really don't get involved with ghost hunting and paranormal researchers as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Mostly because I became a little disillusioned with that.
Yeah, that's understandable.
What is the strangest thing you've come across in the paranormal field?
Well, at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, I was pretty sure I saw shadowy figures moving in the background. You know, unfortunately, I have no evidence of that, so it's just my word against the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but other people thought they saw the same thing, so it was very, very weird. Subject to interpretation, of course, but I genuinely felt like I saw, you know, silhouettes of figures back there, in the back of that hallway on the third floor of Waverly Hill Sanatorium.
Huh. Yeah, I've heard Waverly Hill Sanatorium is notorious for supernatural activities.
Oh, yeah. It's got quite the reputation. Mm-hmm. The owners of it want to make sure you know that.
Wow. And there was some background about history and myths. I don't know if you want to get into that. I know Josh is a huge history nut, and he likes to read about myths. So didn't know if you wanted to diverge more into that.
Sure. What aspect would you like to talk about?
What would you like to talk about, Josh?
Well, what myths do you specialize in?
Well, I study a lot of mythology and culture, myths and folklore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to, when I was more into the paranormal stuff, it definitely helped with that, to have an understanding of the areas you're going into.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nowadays it's more of a, you know, just a hobby and curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I still lecture on it when I'm invited to do so. I speak at libraries and universities sometimes. And I do, I incorporate that into all my, and, well, not all of them, but the vast majority of the shows I host. I do a performance around St. Patrick's Day every year called Fairy Tales That Tell in the Dark, in which
mm-hmm.
I cover a lot of the European, but also other, you know, cultural myths and folklore, you know, in regards to fairy creatures, ghost stories, and things like that. You know, leprechauns, of course, are the focus because it's St. Patrick's Day, but I also cover, aspects of South American, Australian, African mythology, folklore, and myth. And I, you know, talk about the stories that most people haven't heard about or have misrepresented because they watch too many Disney movies and think that, you know, everything is, sparkles and sunshine, but really there's a lot of darker myths out there. One of my favorite myths, of course, in European myth, is the, you know, the changeling, for example.
Yes.
Where the fairy would steal a baby and replace it with a look-alike, and the one way of exposing it was with iron. In Japanese mythology, there's the kappa, which was a water demon that liked cucumbers and people to eat. It was, you know, either one. It was satiated, basically.
I like
very interesting.
I like cucumbers, but I don't like people.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah. You know, cucumbers is fine, but the two together, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, as I said, if you wrote your name on a cucumber and threw it into the water, the kappa would spare you. Which is it had a bowl built into not an actual bowl, but a bowl shaped deviation in its head. That there was a jelly like substance that was kept in there, and if you the kappa, despite the fact that it, and pardon me for being a little graphic, ate you from the anus up, was nevertheless very polite, and you would have to, if you bowed to it, it would return the bow, because out of polite obligation, and if it would spill the jelly out of its head, it would have to run back to the water to replenish.
Oh,
so it was a very weird demon, and if you ever go to a Japanese restaurant, you'll notice there's lot of places that serve sushi have a cucumber roll. It's called the Kappa Sushi. And that's what it's named after. Hopefully they don't have, you know, human pieces in there, too.
Well, I know that in South American myth and African myth and in Asian myth, there's a lot of vampiric tales come from there that people actually don't realize. Like, they think all the vampiric tales come out of, like, you know, Europe, but there's a lot of vampiric stuff coming out of those other countries, actually.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. You know, vampires permeate pretty much every culture in the world. There's not, you know, there is really not a culture anywhere that does not have a vampire myth associated with it. It's pretty interesting to think about that. There's vampires in the Philippines that essentially were floating heads.
Mm-hmm.
There's vampires the vampires in China actually were jumpers. Because they were stiff from rigor mortis, they would hop at you. Yep, and there's in Hindu mythology, there is the Yama, the god of death, who was a vampiric deity who appeared in the mythology of Tibet, Nepal, and Mongolia. So there's definitely a lot of vampire myths out there. It's just amazing how much it permeates it. The Philippines had I'm trying to remember what they're called, the Aswang.
Yeah, Aswang,
yeah. Bloodsucker. Yep, Aswang, that's right. And the... But there's like you said, you know, every culture has a vampire myth.
Now, isn't Kali supposed to be a vampire goddess?
Well, in a way, Kali was definitely a vampire-like god. You know, it's a major deity in the mythology of India.
Mm-hmm.
She did definitely had a bloodthirst.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I'm trying to remember. In text, that Kali was described as having fangs, wearing a garland of corpses, and living in the, living in the ground. So it's very vampire-like.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you wouldn't be too inaccurate to describe her as vampiric. And so the. The Romani tribes of Europe, which you should not refer to them as gypsies because that's politically incorrect, but they also eventually will worship certain aspects of Kali later in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, they got a really raw deal from people like Hitler and those kind of people, like the gypsies did.
Romani.
The Romani.
Be careful,
yeah.
Saying. Yeah, be careful referencing them as gypsies because it's considered very politically incorrect these days.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's an anachronism based on racism, basically. The same.
Oh, history. Okay. So is that what the Nazis called them then? Is that what
That terminology predates Nazism by several hundred years. They were said to came out of Little Egypt, and they eventually evolved into Gypsy. And of course, you have the very bad term Gyp.
Gyp, yes.
And that sort of thing.
That's where it comes from.
That's another reason why we should, unless you're saying, because a lot of people don't know Romani, but they do know Gypsy, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess that is a kind of mean term to be using for people, so yeah.
Yeah, can't call them that anymore. It's considered very, politically incorrect and insulting pretty much to them.
Right, understandable.
Days. But 20 years ago, it would have been common. In fact, they probably would have referred to themselves as that just to avoid, confusion about people who aren't aware of the culture and wouldn't be sure on how to address them or what to address them as. But yeah, they used to refer to themselves as that. Mm-hmm. But it eventually became more correct to refer to them as the proper, term Romani. Mm-hmm. Which is what several tribes of people referred to.
I was checking out some of your media appearances, and you've been on like some pretty well known things. So you've been on the Discovery Channel, Destination America. I'm guessing that the Nat Geo's National Geographic.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, the National Geographic reference it's kind of a toss up right there because I got credited in a show for being an advisor on the show.
Oh, gotcha.
And I wasn't to make an appearance in it, but I'm in the producer's credits. For season one of Is It Real? In which they had an episode on ghosts. So I did an advisory section on it. If you watch that episode, it's very insulting to the people involved in it. they definitely poked fun at and made a show of the people that they did get to actually appear in the show. And I think that's why they did not have me appear in there, because I had a very objective opinion about it. I don't think I was ridiculous enough for them to want to. They were very skeptical in that show in regards to the paranormal. So they did not use any of the footage they filmed of me, but they did use me as an advisory capacity and reference me in the credits.
What did you do with the Discovery Channel?
It was a show called Everything You Want to Know About the Paranormal, and they brought me in as a talking head feature. That's the only kind of TV shows I do. I have been asked in the past to actually do television series. In fact, that the show that takes place in West Virginia. What's it called? I'm trying to remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a paranormal show that takes place in West Virginia, and I was asked to do that, and I turned it down because I don't do series, because eventually you're asked to fake stuff. And also, I've taken a much more skeptical point of view these days. I don't really accept a lot of stuff, especially from amateur ghost hunters and that sort of thing.
And so, there's a lot of them, too.
Yeah, there are.
A lot of them fake stuff, so yeah. Those TV shows. So I don't do TV series. I will do talking head bits as a, an expert in certain topics. But I will not actually appear. So, Discovery Channel had me come in as an expert on ghost hunting technology. And he asked me to do a little talking bit, in which I, for the Edgar Allan Poe House, which we did an investigation that night. And I believe at the time we were the first crew ever to do an investigation there. The curator of the Poe House at the time actually had parts that he filmed in which he said he saw stuff on camera, and then asked the film crew to remove all those scenes. So little behind the scenes information. He did say he saw stuff. He felt like he did, but he had his parts removed from it because he was embarrassed by it. And so you will never see that footage.
Wow.
So we just did a talking head bit, and they kind of intercut it with a psychic they had come in another day. So if you watch it, you'll think that psychic was part of our team, but she was not. No offense to her. I mean, just trying to say that she didn't do a good job, but she was not part of the team I put together for that evening.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole episode is available on YouTube. You just gotta look up, Discovery Channel Vince Wilson. It should pop right up.
Okay, cool. And then, looking at your website, I saw, Magic and Murder Mysteries, Mystery Weekends. I used to, go to those mystery dinners where you kind of play games or find out who killed who. I mean, is this something kind of similar to Mystery Weekends, or can you describe what this Magic and Murder stuff is?
Oh, yeah. So, I grew up in the 80s, right? I'm 44 years old. So, I grew up in the 80s, and, this is the era of detective TV shows, even more so than today. And there was this, so there was Remington Steele and Moonlighting and Heart to Heart and so on and so forth. And a lot of these shows had a trope of an episode in which the detectives would take a friend to a murder mystery weekend in which they would solve a crime. And during the course of the weekend, a real murder would take place and they would have to solve it. Now, it intrigued me, and ever since I heard about that sort of thing existing and being a real thing, I wanted to do something like that. And now, you don't see that anymore, where you actually look for clues and solve mysteries, unless you count escape rooms. All right, so that's what they have now. They have escape rooms, in which you go in for an hour, and you have to solve a mystery in order to escape the room. But I always missed the idea of solving mysteries. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you went to the murder mystery, right?
It was like a mystery dinner kind of thing. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't actually solve the mystery, though.
No.
You just looked for clues. They didn't hide clues around the room. You didn't have to get out a magnifying glass and solve puzzles, right?
No. Yeah, that's right.
No, none of that happened. It was a play.
Yeah, it was a play. That's what I went to.
That's very entertaining, and they're a lot of fun. I've been to a few myself.
Uh-huh.
I love them. However, it is not what I wanted.
Okay.
I wanted to be a clue finder. However, there is an inherent flaw in asking your audience to be detectives. You know what that is?
What is that?
The chance of failure. Everybody wants to be Sherlock Holmes. Nobody wants to be Watson. So there's a high chance of failure. I mean, do you really want the people at the end of the show to tell you how it actually played out, or do you want to be the person that tells everyone else how it played out, or do you want to be the person that feels like they were part of the mystery?
Yeah.
So, in my murder mystery shows, all right, the audience feels like they're part of it, and because I use illusions and sleight of hand, and occasionally even the power of suggestion, they always at the end feel like they solved it. No matter what, they will solve the mystery. Okay, they look for clues, they hunt for answers, they participate, they come up to the front, and they actually volunteer. And at the end of the show, they solve the mystery.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
Yep.
You should do that at SILCON.
My newest one is, of course, I think so. I think we can work something out. My newest show, of course, is The Ghost of Sherlock Holmes.
Uh-huh.
I'm very excited about that one.
Awesome.
Yep, I actually went to Switzerland last year to go to the place where, in the story, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the creator, actually tried to kill off Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, wow.
Yep, but I went to that place in Switzerland last year at Reichenbach Falls. And the last Sherlock Holmes story, at least it was supposed to be, was The Final Problem. And Holmes supposedly died with his arch nemesis. If you saw the last Robert Downey Jr. movie where they fall off the hotel into the waterfall, that's kind of loosely based on it. I've been to the waterfall. It's not that amazing. There's no hotel built on top of it.
Oh, wow. Huh. Well, that's pretty cool.
Unfortunately, because...
Yep. Let's see. And then, I'm a part-time, half-time journalist. I write for a small local paper, and I was checking out the newspapers, and I think it's awesome that you've been in the Baltimore Sun and Washington Times and the Washington Post. Those are pretty big time newspapers. How the heck did you get into those?
Around Halloween, they looked for paranormal investigators and they called me up.
Wow.
And at the time when I was living in Baltimore, we had the premier paranormal investigation research group on the Eastern Seaboard, as far as I'm concerned. they were highly respected, and they had the highest level of, you know, professionalism when they performed. The team was the best team there, as far as I was concerned, there ever was. Mm-hmm. You know, but the I moved, and you know, things and people moved on, and so and I don't think I could ever duplicate that level of professionalism, and also my ideas about the paranormal in general and ghost hunting in particular have changed significantly.
Yeah.
So I'm much more skeptical than I used to be, almost to the point of being overly objective. So, you know, like I said, so I, you know, once I became certified in parapsychology, mm-hmm. I took a, you know, much different approach to researching it as well.
I think with the ghost hunting thing, I've never been on a ghost hunt. I don't really have any desire to, but those kind of experiences, I think unless you've had a personal experience yourself, it is very easy to be skeptical because, like, I think a lot of them get wrapped up in all this equipment stuff that they use. And, like, they try to make it sound like you've heard something. I've seen YouTube videos, and I think some of them are just insane. And
yeah, it's like somebody farted, and yeah. They think it's a ghost.
You know, I mean, they're just so outrageous. But I've had some weird, you know, I'm not going to go into detail this episode, but I've had some weird, you know, things happen, like, in my family. So, like, I know there's something out there. I'm not sure what it is. But I'm not going to, like, go join these groups of ghost hunters and get all excited either, so.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that the my involvement in the paranormal, as I was lecturing and trying to teach, but also, you know, becoming very involved in a lot of things, it made me a target to some degree as well. And I did not want to do that anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just, that's why I just do stuff for entertainment now publicly, and any research I do, you know, for, as far as that's concerned, is on the side.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm so skeptical right now. I don't think anybody would want me talking at their paranormal conference anymore, to be honest with you.
Well, like I said, I've only had personal experiences, so I don't get totally into that. It's fun to read about, but I don't get, you know, all like, oh boy. So yeah. Josh, do you have anything else that you would like to ask or talk to Vince about?
Well, I was wondering, what you do illusionism, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and what's the most complicated illusion thing you've done so far in your shows?
It depends on your point of view. I do a psychic touch effect in which I tell a person to close their eyes, and I touch them on the back of the neck, and I said, when you feel that again, I want you to stand up. Now close your eyes. And I walk all the way across the side of the room. I could walk 100 feet away. And I touch the air, and they stand up because they feel it in the back of their neck.
Wow.
That's pretty funky.
Yep, maybe I'll do that for you in Silicon.
All right.
That would be fun. Yeah, I'm actually interested in your hypnotist stuff, because I know I've always been interested in that.
Well, we'll have to talk to Becky about seeing if we can find a space large enough to do some hypnosis.
Yeah.
The murder mystery is something I definitely plan on doing. You know, that weekend, and of course I'll be bringing Vlad with me.
Oh yeah, I'll be happy to see him again. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but Vlad is a skilled magician and performer as well. He has a theatrical background.
Mm-hmm. I can kind of tell. He's got that personality.
Yeah, he is a bunch of marble. Oh yeah, he's got a great personality for that. You know, he can really kind of feel a presence when he's around.
Oh yeah, totally.
So he will be. Yep. So you can, Yeah, you can find out more about him, of course, at gothicmagic.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he would love to be on your show as well.
Oh, he was actually scheduled to be on last week, but with Hurricane Florence, we have to reschedule. So he had to evacuate.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because he moved in with – he had to stay with friends for a while because Myrtle Beach got flooded. At least parts of it did. I mean, he only just got back there yesterday, I think.
Yeah, he sent me a text. He told me he got back yesterday. We could reschedule sometime.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right. Yeah, so what else would you like to know? Is there anything else where you think we're
Josh, did you have anything else?
What other illusion what other illusions have you done that stick out most in your mind?
That I have done personally?
There's
there are several effects that I do for... Obviously, I can't tell you the secrets over the
right,
show,
of course, of course.
But the... I have a... You know, I... For example, I did a show called Fairy Tales That Tell in the Dark, which I mentioned that to you before, in which, during the show... when I last time I performed it around St. Patrick's Day, I, you know, asked the people in the audience if they had any, if how many of them were Irish descendants, and quite a few of them were. And at the end of the show, this woman who had a her family was Irish descent. I focused on her a little bit. I asked her some questions. I told her a story in which, that 100 years ago. A relative, an ancestor of hers, actually, had a premonition on her deathbed. A banshee had appeared outside her window and foretold her death. 100 years later, this woman was born. A 100 years earlier, I'm going back and forth. I said this much better during the show. I got to remember how it goes. But anyway, the 100 years earlier, the ancestor had predicted the future birth of her great-great-great-granddaughter.
Wow.
And her husband had it made into a locket engraved in silver. And the entire time, this locket was in a bell jar enclosed in glass on the table where the woman sat at. I asked her, I said, can you lift up the jar? So she lifts up the jar and said, can you open the locket? She opens the locket, and her initials are engraved in the silver of the locket.
That's pretty awesome. Very cool.
Yep. She cried, actually. Her tears started coming out of her eyes and everything.
Yeah, that's very awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on tonight, and taking your time to talk to us, Vince. You know, we've been wanting to have you on the show, so I'm glad that you got to come on.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
You're quite welcome, and perhaps maybe we'll have you on again sometime.
I would love to. All right, awesome. Talk to you again soon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night, Vince.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was the amazing Vince Wilson, and I'm going to try to hang up on our Skype call, unless he hasn't already. And there we go. And I believe our next guest... next week, I think we will probably air it a little bit later. Of course, we're not always live anymore. Our next guest next week will be the amazing dark gothic illusionist Ron Fitzgerald. So we will have a link to have that show on next Thursday. So until then, we will reschedule Vlad so that we will have all three of our magicians, illusionists, on, and we'll have all three of those together.
And until then, I hope I don't get attacked by any bud-eating vampires.
We don't want any of that. In the meantime, we'll carry lots of garlic and holy water and crosses and all that good stuff. So, we wish you all a good night.
Good night.
Would you like to sponsor the Cloverleaf Radio Network? We'd love for you to be our friend. We have several packages available, and some start out just as low as 99 cents a month. All you need to do is to click on that little link that you see that says Support Our Network. You can support our network for 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. But if you be our best friend and you sponsor us for $9.99 a month, you'll get to be a part of Cherry House Press, which is another company part of the Cloverleaf Radio Network. We'll send you the newest published book every time that we published, just because you decided to be our friend for $9.99 a month. We thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.